This is a home for people on the spiritual path, a way station for many of us as we grow our souls, a final destination for many of us for whom this congregation and its membership, this temple and its history, this faith and its promise present for us the best place for us to be and to become. Now, some people are like me. They identify themselves as humanists, persons for whom all we need to know to live lives of justice and happiness can be found in this natural world, in the human mind and its reason and inventiveness, in human freedom with its confidence in creativity, with human compassion, with its recognition that none of us walks this path without sorrow, and none of us walks this path alone. While I am a humanist, I also accept religion as the creation of humanity, expressed in myriad ways and in all places. Our human searching for deep and broad truths that capture us and contain us and our capacity. Vehicles on this journey for understanding the infinite, for naming what seems unnameable, even for explaining the experience which cannot otherwise be explained. Mystery, riddle and a mystery, we have named that which is our source and our destination. Spirit of life, we have named that which accompanies us on our way. The one who sits at table and welcomes all, called that mystery, that spirit, God. And some of us do too. Christians in this congregation and out in the world around us may see on their calendar a season that starts this week. It's a time of the lengthening of the days. And in this northern hemisphere, it's a time when the sun rises earlier each day and sets later, a time when we are certain that winter is passing and the spring that has been preparing herself, I promise, that's been preparing herself under the snows, even 6 to 8 inches tonight, may finally appear. For Christians, Lent can be a special time of richer prayer, of fasting and abstinence, to grow self-awareness and to allow Christ to be reborn in their consciousness at Easter and at its proclamation of the full restoration of all life. Christ comes again in that symbol to be the ruler of our hearts, not just a good example for us, but the supreme example of humanity. And so for the Christian, prayer and abstinence and fasting all give us time to reflect on who we really come from, where we really are going, what is offered to us in the riddle and the mystery of our living just a short time on this ancient world. Buddhists, too, imagine that periods of fasting and abstinence, meditation and silence can help to train the mind, to point the mind to the noble truths that life is full of suffering, that this suffering comes from our attachment to things which are impermanent, that an end to suffering is possible, and that this happens when we control our minds to accept the world as it is and to release ourselves from our attachment. I have dear friends on my faith journey who have been in silent meditation with Buddhist centers for a weekend or for a week, for a month or for 99 days, silent and breathing and paying attention and wrapped in simply being, for self and for the world, for an entire year. This denial of self is an exercise in detachment, imagining that life is sustained by more than bread alone, and experiencing the release that comes with detaching from desire. I practice Lent each year, even in my humanism, especially by affirming my place in a community. At seminary, I made a special commitment to worship practice one Lenten season, being present throughout Lent for the Wednesday worship service conducted by the dean of the chapel each week, but also on Thursdays for worship in the African American tradition, where I was on the leadership team, and on Tuesday afternoons when the Unitarian Universalist students would meet for our chalice circle in the Meeting House Center for Theology and the Arts, where I also served as staff. I would spend 7 weeks affirming the community I loved, the community I was responsible for, the community that held me in my inevitable suffering. Life is suffering. My partner, Leonel, had died on the Wednesday after Easter, and that first year after he died, I looked with great fear on the anniversary of his death, not only on April 10th, the day of his death, but on April 12th, the day of his funeral, nor April 19th, when finally we placed his ashes into the earth under a mound of flowers in Cementerio Cristo Redentor in Santo Domingo. I remember these days, of course, but I also remember in the liturgical year, that last Good Friday, that troublesome Easter vigil, that joyful Easter afternoon when I used his Bible in baptizing new immigrants in the rustic font of First Parish Church in Dorchester. I remember that Monday night taking that same Bible and reading the Gospel of Mark, and that Tuesday night reciting the Song of Songs, and that Wednesday early morning moment of holding him into his death. My attachment to relationship with him, which brings so much joy, also brings so much suffering. And so the weeks of April in the calendar and the days of Easter in the moving holiday bring me much confusion and sadness and joy. I need to prepare for the fullness of those memories, or at least I feel I need to. And so a Lenten practice, which 1 year was going to Sunday night mass each week in the Paulist Father's Chapel, the one place that I could go with conscience, just to slow down, just to give me some discipline to my monkey mind, just to stop letting the lengthening of days get me too excited, too emotional, too ready to jump into overworking as a way to avoid my true feelings. I'm trying to talk about the truth, you see, trying to show for you the ways I engage the search for truth and meaning in this world and in my life, trying to create a space here for you to let your hearts guide you, let your minds take you, let your life allow you to find the truths that satisfy you. I'm talking about truth because I know that there are multiple truths, multiple ways that we make meaning in this world. I make meaning by making friends. Relationships are the things which persevere in this world of ephemera, this world of impermanence. The friendships that I have are the places where I hope to invest myself. Poet Marlene Benesch writes, "Love is the only legacy worth leaving." And it is because my life of suffering is so filled with love that I find from friends that I know satisfaction and happiness. I have a circle of clergy friends who mean so much to me. My friend James Ishmael Ford is a very accomplished minister serving our historically Unitarian congregation in Providence, Rhode Island. James is also one of the first Soto School Zen masters in the United States and the first UU minister who is also a Zen master. James wrote a book that he really loves, is really proud of. If you're lucky, your heart will break. Field notes from a Zen life. I'm touched by how much of my dear friend comes through in this volume. He shares his life with us, refined by the fire of thought. My friend Scotty Meek, I think his real name is Alexander Meek, has served our movement with distinction. He has a Universalist pedigree, graduating from Tufts University and serving Universalist congregations before our merger, and UU congregations and districts and even the national staff for decades. In his extensive years of interim ministry, his wisdom has been planted in perhaps a dozen congregations. Scotty is blind now and reads books by listening to audiobooks that he gets mostly from the library. Scotty would love to read. If you're lucky, your heart will break. But a small book from a small press is not the first book that gets made into an audio book. My Lenten task this year will not be to beat myself up over my overweight and fast, nor to temper my enthusiasm for work with a commitment to recreation, contemplation, and days of silence, as good as that might be for me. My Lenten task each morning will be to read my friend James's book, to turn my reading into an MP3 file and to email 15 to 20 minutes of my friend James to my friend Scotty. This is something to me that speaks to my understanding of what truth is, that we are connected to each other, responsible to each other, and capable of bringing happiness to each other. This is the truth I know about life, that my life matters and your life matters, that we each have great capacity to act in ways that hurt and ways that help, that we have the insight to know how to be wonder workers for joy and for justice in this world we know, and that we can do more than just plan and think. We can actually do. It is just this little bit that I hope will bring joy to my life and to the lives of my friends. This little bit will allow me to be the person I imagine I am. Some people are like me. They identify themselves as humanists, persons for whom all we need to know to live lives of justice and happiness can be found in this natural world, in the human mind and its reason and inventiveness, in human freedom with its confidence and creativity, in human compassion with its recognition that none of us walks this path without sorrow. And none of us walks this path alone. Walk the path, dear friends. Walk your path. Blessed be.